Next slide, please. So, how do we get anchored in our identity as believers? So this is where we start to apply the word. This is where the meat and potatoes of now that we have gotten to a place of being solidified in who we are in Christ, being confident that we are new creations in him. We are, like I love declaring over myself, I have the mind of Christ. And I, all the time, I pray before I go to bed. Into my dreams. I want your thoughts, not my thoughts. Get my thoughts out of there. I want your thoughts. I want to know your what you're thinking tonight. I want an encounter. So applying the word. It's a little bit about what I was saying, where the word becomes written on your heart. You know, as in the Song of Solomon, it talks about seal upon our heart. You know, there's actually a verse where he actually is saying like that you placed your seal upon my heart, and the things you've spoken are going to be there. Permanently, and like that's what the word of God is supposed to be doing. It's supposed to be planted in our hearts and a seal that nothing can remove it. Like, and that's a promise that he spoke to Israel. It's a promise for anyone grafted into Israel. We're supposed to be able to benefit in this way. He's going to write it on our hearts. So Romans 12:2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. John 8:32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you or shall make you free. So we are transformed by changing how we think. Transformation begins by knowing who we are in Christ. As our mind is renewed, our emotions are transformed, and thus our behavior changes. Our emotions are not transformed by trying harder, but by seeing the truth more clearly. And so I believe like this happens with personal application. The more you do it, the more you grow in confidence, the more you have understanding, you more, like for real, you test the word of God. He says, test me, try it out, see what happens. Most people are like, I don't know. Should I do that? Like, do I dare do it? Like, yeah, why not? You got a meeting with your boss this week. Get some scripture going, you know, pray it in beforehand, and maybe why not loosen a scripture in your language when you're talking. You release a blessing on him. Use scripture. He might not pick up on it, but you did. Your spirit did, and Jesus did. The Holy Spirit's coming. You know, the word's been activated. It's coming. And you start to see that stuff happening. You see a shift. You leave a meeting, and you're like, things just happened in there. You get a phone call. Favor comes down. Like, what? Is that because the Holy Spirit takes you back to moments where you start to activate the word in the moment? And it comes alive and active, and you all of a sudden, you're activated. You're like encouraged, your heart is, and you're like, wait a minute, I actually know who I am now. Oh, this is for real. This is actually happening. And it's this, we get to be like these people in the Bible, you know, because they have the Holy Spirit. You know, those disciples, like they were sold out for Jesus, but those first 3 years, like they were pretty messed up. They were trying to figure it out, like, oh, so wait, what? You're going to go do what now? Like, if they can do it, we can do it, you know? And that's where I think I'll just be real. Like, that's how I got saved. 5 years old, that's how I got saved. It was stories in the Bible that my heart and my spirit connected with, like, oh, that's reality. Like we can do that too. Like, they're doing that. Like, they're real people. And God's using them to do great things. Like, what's the difference between me and them? Oh, I'm lacking in maturity, understanding, and not the knowledge of God. Oh, you know, like that, if people understood that, where would they go? Where would that take them? You know, we could change the world. We could be like David in our generation. Next slide, please. All right, so this one could be one of those guts punches to your guts, or it could be, oh, it's so good to hear. Oh. So the most powerful preacher you will ever hear is yourself. Now, some of you might, you know, differ, like, well, I know so-and-so is pretty good, but in the context of you every single day speaking to yourself, over yourself, even the thoughts in your head, who is the number one person you're talking to or hearing from, I'll say, it's yourself. And then, so this is where your identity comes into the mix, because what are you speaking about yourself? What are you saying about yourself? How do you feel about yourself? How are you carrying yourself? Are you, man, I just don't know what's going to happen today, and man, I hope that guy doesn't do that thing he did, or I hope I don't have cars don't try to hit me on the road like yesterday? Or do you have like that, I'm going, Lord, we're going to do this thing. We're going to walk in victory. The word of God's on, it's on the move. You're going before me. You're fighting my battles for me. Like, who can stand against me if you're with me, Lord? Like, come on, let's go. You know, like, if you have that, and then even the expectation to love others well, like to walk out of the house, like, I'm going to love people well today. Wait, I love myself because you love me. Okay, I'm going, God, you know, to actually live in that way, you start to connect with the realities of heaven, like being a citizen of heaven. So Romans 10, 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that's, if you're speaking the word of God over yourself, you're hearing it, you're going to start to believe it. You know, you're declaring it over yourself. So faith does not come by asking, but by hearing the word. Our heart hears best, and most often when the word comes from our own lips. As we speak it to the Lord or to the enemy, we are even declaring it to ourselves. So you can actually usher in breakthrough. You can actually start to walk in things that you never thought possible. Because if you're connecting with the God of the impossible, like, he can do all things. If you're connecting with that, like, I belong to him. He belongs to me. I'm his son. I'm his daughter. I'm his child. I'm in his family. What is that? There's limitless possibilities. I walk into the stores. I walk into businesses. I walk into places, and I expect God to show up. You know, sometimes you can forget that you should expect God to show up. But if you're connecting with him, it comes to a place of like, Father, that homeless person, Lord, do what five people can't do for him, Lord. Do what a church can't even do. Do what a neighborhood could do. Wait, do what you can do for them, Lord. Save them. Pick them off the ground and take them to a shelter and then transform their minds. Bring someone in to disciple them. Like, okay, Lord, and release it and like wait for him to do it. Like expect a testimony to come forth. If not here on earth, in heaven, like, there's going to be a lineup of people you prayed for that you're going to find out, like, because you have the faith to believe it, breakthrough happened in their lives. And it could be anybody. It could be anybody that you have the gumption to pray for. That was a gift my father gave me. You hear the sirens. You're driving on the road. You see the ambulance. You see a car accident. You see something. Let's pray. Let's pray for them. You never know what's going to happen. Pray for everyone involved. I do it to this day. And I'm expecting God to do something. I'm expecting him to show up. Next slide, please. Okay, so this is probably one of the best stories. If you guys know the story, it's great. The Prince and the Pauper. It's probably one of the best stories that has to do with identity and giving a visual of what it looks like. So, man, it's like a two-sided sword because you have two realities that are happening when it comes to your identity here. So the boy on the right, he would be Henry VIII. This is a Mark Twain story, which blows my mind. But this is Henry VIII's son, fictionally, named, well, the other boy is Tom. He might be Henry, I can't remember. But the point is, so you have Tom over here, and you have Henry's son over here. They're born, they find that it turns out they're born on the same day. And they're identical, but so apparently has nothing to do, they're not related. Tom is born to a family with a very abusive father that beats him, that hurts him, that treats him horribly. He's poor. And then you have the son of the king who knows who he is. He knows that he's royalty. He knows he knows nobility, he knows character, he knows the right way to act, he knows what's expected of him, and he knows one day what he's supposed to do. He knows where he's going. You have the beggar over here, the scavenger, the one who actually is probably okay with stealing, okay with survival mode. Essentially, you have one that's set up to succeed and one that's set up to fail. So we'll look at it that way. They run into each other. The beggar, the pauper, Tom realizes, like, he just awestruck, like, it's the prince, runs up on the prince, and the guards, you know, are gonna punish him, you know, and the prince stops them, and he's like, what the heck, like, you look just like me, what's going on? Invites him in to his chambers, and they have this whole dialogue about comparing their lives and all these things, and the the prince decides to kind of take advantage of the situation, and he wants to go see what it's like to be a pauper, but he didn't think it all through. And so he changes clothes with Tom. He goes out past the gates, not realizing the guards aren't going to remember who he is. They're going to think he's actually poor, and he's that guy that left. Then you have Tom, who's dressed as royalty, has the prince's garments. All these, so you have a paradox here, where you have the pauper who has no understanding of how to be a royal in the court, nobility. He has no idea how to carry yourself in dignity in front of people. He probably doesn't even know the value of his life necessarily. He just doesn't like to be beat up, and he wants to eat. Then you have the prince who has gone into the world where the wolves are there. I mean, just horrible situations. He ends up getting lost, finds that he can't go back. He takes the king's seal with him, hides it somewhere, and he ends up making it somehow to Tom's family, gets beat by the dad, finds out how horrible his life really is. His eyes are open to the world around him, but the whole entire time, he's carrying his heart as a prince, and he's judging. He's already started like, I'm not gonna stand for this over here. When I'm king, I'm going to change this. I'm going to change that. I'm speaking into this right here. And there was actually moments where he actually spoke up and would tell like a crowd of boys, like, when I'm king, I'm this. And they would mock him and they would come after him. But it didn't change who he was. He was so solidified in who he was, it didn't matter. And so you have the pauper who goes on a journey of trying to figure, he's figuring out, well, how do you become a prince? You know, the king dies, and all of a sudden he's supposed to become king, and he's not the real king. And everyone in the court thinks that he's sickly because he can't remember how to be a noble. He can't remember the customs and the rules, and so he's trying to quickly figure it out. So what ends up happening, long story short, they get reunited on the court day of the coronation of Tom, who's the poor beggar, to become king. The prince shows up, breaks in, and no one will believe that he's the real prince. But he remembers where he took the king's seal and where he put it at. So he brings out proofs. I'm the one that has it. Because they said, if you can prove that you're it, bring the king's seal. Okay. Went and grabbed it. Boom. Had it. And so what's so amazing about this is that when he becomes king, his father passes away, he becomes king, he starts to set and make everything right. And in his lifespan, he actually saw the injustices that were happening around him. His nobility came out like, no, God, like this, it's like that place of like, we can do better. Like you want better. So I need to put my feet to the ground, my hands to the grindstone. I need to do something about it. Then what you have here is the pauper. He did it when he learned that his worth was more than what it was, what he thought it was. When he started to realize there's a better way to live, he didn't go back. He didn't go back. The prince put him in his position of being his ward for the rest of his life. He was with the prince because he proved loyal to the prince. And so the prince rewarded him. But so that just blows me away because so much in life, I look around sometimes and it's how I pray for people, but you can see people that carry themselves if they're a pauper or if they're a prince, if they're royalty, if they're connecting. It's like, hey, how can I pray for you? And sometimes it's like, yeah, just pray that this works out, that works out. Well, okay, that's good, but how about you pray for it like this, like you're gonna own it, like how about you pray the Lord shows you how much he loves you and that you actually have access and the ability to ask for it yourself. And that's a paradigm shift for people because they're still living like paupers. They're like, no, wait, I can't. Can I do that? Yeah, you can, because he came and he died on the cross and he made a way for us to be with him. So that's one of my favorite stories, but it just gives a picture of the battle that we have with identity. We either choose to be children of God or we choose to be called children of God, but we really don't own it and live it out in our hearts. So that's something that I feel like it's a battle that every believer has to go through, And then to actually activate the word of God and use it in your life in a way where you're proving it to yourself and to God, because God already knows it. God is waiting for you, you know, to like to be awakened to that reality, step into your calling, who you are. The last slide, I believe. Yes. We overcome by the word of God. So John 8, 32. Then you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Let us hold fast our confession, come boldly to the throne of grace. I love that. I really do. I like to visualize that Revelations 4, you know, going into the throne room with you, Lord, like, you actually, wait, you allow me to have access to your throne? Like, I that's my own personal thing. When I was a child, I'd be in a room by myself, and I imagine that I was a court jester in the king's court, and I was entertaining him and making him laugh, and I realized, like, I was made for God, you know? Like, I was made to make him laugh, to engage with him, to be around him. Like, this is who I am. It's amazing. Now I get to walk it out in a real way. Like, I had no idea. We release Jesus' power in our life by our confession of the word. So our words are powerful and cause either faith or fear to grow in us, which results in our living in either freedom or oppression. So, you know, that's one of the things that's even like when you're discipling someone, you know, it's like, it just picking up on like, are they speaking death over themselves? Or are they speaking life? You know, like, I can never do this. I'm this, I'm that. Like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, don't go there. like, don't shoot yourself in the foot. Like, and actually living in a place of, I want to speak life for myself. I want breakthrough. I'm expecting good things to happen and shifting your mind. And there really is, you know, a place of living for success. You know, it's not, I want to be rich one day, but it really is that place of like, what if you could close your eyes? Whoa, just that got crazy. What if you close your eyes and you imagine in like you actually like, from the moment I'm born, I'm royalty. Like, I'm royalty before him. Like, that's, it's unequivocally who I am. Full on, and you actually walk in that way, and you talk in that way, and you are expecting success everywhere you go, and you're expecting favor everywhere you go, and then you rub it off on people. Like, if you're going to be next to someone, like, Lord, release it on them. Lord, just encounter them. Oh, Lord, I ask that you would do things that will blow their mind, like surprise them this week. And like, oh, right, here we go. I leave that there, leave this here. And you are actually in a place of impacting the world around you when you're doing that. And it's amazing. And I liken it like this, being someone that creates safe places for other people. Because people are attracted to a place where they feel safe, where they're not being condemned, they're not being put down, they're not like, maybe even feeling like I can never add up to this person because everything happens great in their life. But if you open the door, like, this can happen to you too. I want you to know about it. Oh man, it'll shift their paradigm of who they are. Last one, when our words agree with God's word, we release his power in our life in a greater measure. When we learn to live by the word of God, we break agreement more and more with the enemy's words over our own lives. We realize we do have the power to overcome. Yeah, so by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, when we speak the word and we know like what he's done for us, and we can pull upon scriptures, and it's almost kind of like the heartstrings of our heart. Like when we're playing, we pull a string, it's like a scripture verse coming out, you know, and just being able to like, Lord, this is who you are. I want to live before you. I want to be set apart in such a way. And, you know, I feel like it's a place of where we ask God to release his fire on us, on our hearts, and allow us to burn for him, you know, to be honest, that's the probably one of the greatest points of Meshach, Rachach, and Abednego, what they did. Like, they were already on fire before they went in the fire, so it didn't affect them. Like, what if we all were set on fire and just so passionate for the Lord? Like, oh, man, I mean, there's a great movie called Risen. I don't know if you've seen it or not, but it's a newer movie about Jesus. And there's scenes in it where his disciples and the people, there's a, like the centurion that puts him to death is doing this investigation, like where'd the body go during the 3 days? And they're going, the Romans are going crazy. But the disciples and Mary Magdalene and all these people, it's like they're in another world. Like they're interviewing them, like where'd it go? I'm like, it doesn't, like they're trying to explain it to him, but they're like, it's like they're another planet, another world, because they've been around Jesus. And the Romans, like, I can't figure this out. Like, they're giving, like, these backward answers. We're telling them we're going to kill them if they don't tell us. And they're like, they don't even care. Like, yeah, great. Whatever you can't do anything to me that, you know, it can change anything where I'm going or just how the greatness of who he is. It changed everything. And they're like, they're talking about it. And the Roman guy, like, he's like, this is crazy. Like, I don't understand. But, man, it really makes you think, like, oh, my gosh. Like, was that how it was? Like, just his presence and who he was, it shifted them. It changed them. Like, they didn't worry. They didn't have the cares of the world like they once did. Like, when he was, the anointing was on him and he was there in their presence, it shifted people wherever he went. So we want to be set on fire like that. We want the word of God to be living, active, and alive in us. We want to know who we are in him and bold to live it out. So let me just pray. Closing and just pray. I just want to pray for just everyone that is a part of this church and that comes and that will be coming, even future members, that this would be part of your guys' inheritance, all right? So, Father of glory, we just come before you, Lord, and we are grateful for the sacrifice of your Son, the gift of your Son, Lord, who is so dear to you. It's your beloved Son. You are well pleased in him. And thank you for sharing him with us, and thank you for making a way for us, God. Father God, I ask that you would just release your power, Lord, upon Faith and Grace Church Fellowship. Lord, I pray that this fellowship would become one that is set on fire for you, God, that you would just release your power, that you would release your truth, that the word of the Lord would run swiftly and be glorified throughout this church, Lord, that members of this church would start to have the spirit of wisdom and revelation, just understanding of the word, that the word of God would be like treasure that's opened up inside of them, and that they would just have access to you and your word, because you are the living word, Jesus. You are the word, you spoke it at creation, and it came out. And Lord, we get to speak your word here on planet Earth, and we get to release it. And I pray that this would become the heritage of this fellowship, of this church, that we would have people here, Lord, that seek you and actually know who they are in you. They know where they're going. They're not afraid, and they're on fire for you in such a way that the world cannot bring them down. They cannot be afflicted. They cannot be hurt. Nothing can be shaken from them because they're so grounded and rooted in you, Lord, that you would have your way. And Lord, that anyone that comes to this church, God, would just be blessed by your presence and by the word, Lord, and that your fire would be tangible, that they actually sense it and they wouldn't run from it, they would run to you. And they would ask, Lord, for all that you have for them. So we've asked for this tonight, God, in your holy and precious name, Lord Jesus, amen. Amen. All right, thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Jacob. We really appreciate you bringing the word tonight. It's awesome. It's awesome. Go back one slide, Kathy. You know, I pinned in on something you said here with our words are powerful and either cause either faith or fear to grow in us. And we've said these acronyms before. Fear is false evidence appearing real. And the faith acronym that the Lord dropped into our sister back here is full assurance in trusting him. So fear has no place in faith because it's false, and Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Amen. Go ahead to the title slide there, Kathy. The next slide. Okay. The Aaronic blessing, named after Aaron, it's in Hebrew called the Berakit Kohanim. And out of Numbers chapter 6, starting with verse 22, it says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." That's not a I may, I might, I could, maybe if I think I will. That's I will bless them. Now, the one translation in here about countenance, we think of countenance and it's the way you look. Well, the actual Hebrew, the way it was when the father held the child up and beamed into their face. That's the only place that it talks about him looking up to you. And it's the father holding the child up and just looking at all the possibility that he's pouring into them with love, with honor, with respect, with expectation, knowing what all this child has before it. And that's what he does with us. So go ahead in Hebrew and then in English.
Yaradanai panav elecha vechunecha yesa Adonai panav elecha vesham lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his face towards you, and the Lord give you peace. Shalom, shalom.
Amen. Father God, I just pray that the word that was spoken tonight, the word that was shared tonight, will go deep within us. And Father God, we will not let the enemy steal this word. But this word will go in, it will be planted and become a bumper crop in our hearts, that because we mix it with faith. And by mixing it with faith, it becomes profitable to us. Lord, there are people that are going to be touched from the lives of the people here because this word stayed within their hearts. And they shared it out later. They shared the growth. They shared the nuggets. They shared the harvest. Because a seed has all of the harvest already in it before it's ever planted. But it has to be planted. And then when the harvest comes, there is more seed in the harvest than was planted. But there's also more seed inside each of those seeds for the future harvests. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you that it's the time for the harvest. And you are sending these laborers into the harvest in Jesus' name. Amen.